This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
I think that point about it being an extra notch is so good. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh my God, like light bulb off my head. Like at the end of the day, a postgrad degree is only 1-2 years out of the whole like grand scheme of your life. So if it leads to nothing, it really is just an extra notch in your belt that can only help you in the future. Like no one's going to look and be like, oh, that's such an irrelevant postgrad degree that she's done.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome to Take Note. We are the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. Now, today's episode is about navigating that transition from being an undergraduate student into postgraduate study. So you'll be hearing from Cody, who is part of the University of Adelaide postgraduate recruitment team, about what life as a postgraduate student looks like. But before we get to that, I am joined by an extra special guest this week.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olivia. This is so weird. This is my first time ever doing a podcast. So I'm very excited to be here with Shannon today.
I'm very excited too.
We've been waiting to do this for such a long time. For those of you who don't know, which most of you probably don't, me and Shannon work together. So Shannon is the mind behind the podcast and all of the ideas with that. But I run the Instagram UAA on campus that is adjacent to the podcast. So me and Shannon see each other all the time. And
every day.
Yeah. Always in the office. And we both still study, as you know. Shannon's an honours student, but I'm doing my undergraduate bachelor's commerce degree, majoring in corporate finance and marketing, and I'm in my last semester right now. So
very exciting.
So exciting.
I feel like we've just been talking about this in the office for so long about when we're finally going to get both of us on the podcast.
Yeah, we always talk about like, oh my God, no one's going to know like who we are, who's behind the podcast, like how can it all come together? But we're finally here today, which is so exciting.
So exciting. So what we're going to do today is, yeah, before we get to Cody, I am obviously, you know that I'm an honours student, but I am actually planning on continuing my study with a master's. So we thought we might have a bit of a chat about that, seeing as I'm in the same boat as a lot of you that are considering that like move into postgraduate study. So we thought we might bring Olivia on and we might have a chat about what that looks like for me as a student as well. So you can get to know a little bit more about me, but you know, we can all sit here and relate together.
Yeah. I feel like postgraduate is something that's on everyone's mind. So it's like good to hear even that like the own host of Take Note is like postgraduate is always in the picture for everyone. And like just the process to get to there and like some reasoning behind why you might want to do postgrad.
Yeah, exactly. So Olivia's gonna lead the chat today.
Yeah.
And you'll get to know a little bit more about her.
Put Shannon in the hot seat today for once. So I guess kind of the first thing, Shannon, I feel like no one really knows you that well, is kind of what would a typical week in your life look like?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm in a pretty bit of a bizarre situation in that I'm both working pretty like heavily, but also still studying. So I'm doing my honours degree in media at the moment. So I finished my bachelor's in that, majoring in journalism last year. So for me, the podcast is, it is actually paid work. So good to know for you guys. You can actually get some really cool paid work with the university if you have a little look around. But this really feeds in well to the things that I'm sort of doing. But I'm actually also working for...
So exciting.
Yeah.
News reporter Shannon.
So that is, yeah, being basically a journalist, a reporter there. So, you know, doing bits and pieces for radio, TV, even some of the digital print stuff that you might read. So my week is sort of a bit mixed up. So the first half from like Monday to Thursday is kind of a mix of podcast stuff and thesis. So meeting with my supervisor, doing all those kinds of things. And then from like Friday to Sunday, I might have a day or two off, but I'll also work, you know, 1 to 3 days. Depending on the week as well. So it's pretty jam-packed. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for everyone.
I was going to say, I think my weeks are busy and then Shannon tells me that on her Sunday, which by the way, Sunday is a day to not do anything. She gets up at like 5 a.m. So personally, not for me, but...
She's on the grind. She's doing it
hard. She's also writing a thesis while I'm doing my marketing subject. So I'm definitely very happy to be in my position.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit crazy, but I think all of us can sort of relate to that sort of hustle part of our lives when you sort of like, when you, I think when you know what career you want to be in, you kind of just go, okay, we're just going all at it. But yeah, I do recommend everyone, please make sure you are having rest days. I do my best to actually, I plan my week very carefully so that I do get that rest time in.
Yeah, I think we all need a day off sometimes. I've been playing footy on Sundays recently, but my season's just finished and I'm so excited to have my one day off in the week back to my own to do whatever I like to do. But
just like to rot, thank you.
Yeah, please, just a couple hours. Anyway, like Shannon was just saying, I think it's so important that like we all know that our weeks are structured so differently and we all do so much different stuff, but postgraduate is something that can be for everyone. So how about we hear a little bit about what has led you to want to kind of be setting postgrad for the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty crazy journey for me academically. So before I did my Bachelor of Media in Journalism, I actually did a Bachelor of Music. So I'm a bit old. Yeah. But I did that like, I started that almost 10 years ago. So I did that first and then sort of took a bit of a break from study and then came back to do this now. But I came back and I've always really loved university and I think I've always loved the idea of being a postgraduate student.
Yeah.
And I also love the idea of going overseas. So for me, postgraduate was also an opportunity to potentially do that, maybe, you know, whether it's through a scholarship or something like that. So that's something I'm exploring at the moment. But also part of the reason that I came back to do media and journalism was I love all the theory around it. It's super nerdy and it's not normal.
Yeah.
I love all that. And I feel like for me, postgraduate is the way that I can get a bit further into that. It's the way I can sort of explore the depths of that through research and things like that. So that's definitely been a big driver of my decision to sort of keep going with the study just because I felt like there was more that I wanted.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm on the right track here, but postgraduate in my eyes is either by coursework or by research. So does that mean that you'd be looking at doing a postgrad by research if you...
I mean, I actually haven't really made up my mind about that. I think the one that the course that I've sort of been looking into is coursework, but that because that is only a year in that particular one. I think for a lot of it wouldn't be the case for everything, but I think for a lot of the master's programs, a year is generally coursework. So it's kind of structured similar to an honours year if you've done your honours. So that first half being sort of more coursework, assignments, things like that. And then the second half being sort of a thesis. And I think in a master's, it's called like a minor thesis. And then the 2-year master's is research or, you know, obviously PhD is all research. So I'm sort of looking more at the coursework thing. But for me, honours was also a way to test what I thought of the research things and if that was something that might interest me down the line. So yeah, I mean, it's still a bit off in the air, but it's nice to know you've got both options.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's so interesting. I feel like me still doing my undergrad, like postgrad's always something I've thought about doing, but it's so cool to see like two people that like we work so closely together, but like we are at such different stages of our academic like studying journey. Like I'm kind of like just putting my foot out into the workforce and like you're over here like already thinking about doing postgrad, which is just like crazy to me.
And I think that's it. I think so many people are put off postgraduate because they want to go straight into work. They want to sort of get that going for their lives, or they're just sick of school, particularly if you've come straight from school. Like I relate so hard to that. You're like, I'm done. I don't want to be in a classroom. Get me out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of why like I know this episode's supposed to be about Shannon, but like I went all through high school and I've done my degree like really as quickly as you can out of school. But like I am just planning on working for a couple of years at this point before going straight into postgrad. What are kind of some of your motivations behind, like obviously you took some time off earlier out of school, but what are your motivations behind kind of finishing your honours and going straight through to postgrad after that?
Yeah, I think just because I am a little bit older and I think because I know that I would like to continue on with the actual work stuff that I've been doing. So I feel like for me, it's almost like I know I want to have that postgraduate experience, but I also know I want to work. So for me, work is something that I can do for the next 40 years of my life, if you know what I mean. So, you know, may as well just knock out my postgraduate, do that now. Well, I feel like I'm in like, I also feel like I'm in the right stage of life where I can do that now, where I don't have too many like, you know, big adult commitments. Like your girl has not bought a house.
There's no mortgages yet.
No. Exactly. So I feel like it's just a good time for me to do it now. But obviously everyone is different. But, you know, I probably... You know, if I decided to do a PhD, that something I wouldn't want to do straight away, because I think because that is such a big commitment, I'd want the study break.
Yeah, I feel like everyone would need a study break going into a PhD. Like, so overwhelming to even think about. So because you are looking at doing postgrad so soon, have you done any kind of like preparation for that as that's coming up?
Yeah, I think for me, I think honours has been a big part of that. It was sort of like, as a test to see if I really like it, to sort of know if that is something that I want to spend another year or potentially two, you know, doing for the rest of my life. But that's also sort of given me a bit of a structure and an idea of how that might play out a year in postgraduate, because it's sort of like, honours is kind of like a baby postgraduate.
Yeah. I didn't even realise that honours is considered undergrad until you were telling me that it's considered undergrad, which is insane to me. I'm like, once you've done your bachelor's, like you're out of there, no more undergrad. But
yeah, I think it's a bit of a funny one. I think you'd expect it to be, especially because it has like a whole other name, but because it's actually just added on to your bachelor. Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But yeah, for me, as I sort of mentioned, overseas study is something I'm really interested in, and postgraduate definitely is a pathway for that. So I have been sort of hitting my nose to the ground with writing scholarship applications and things like that to try and see if I can get, you know, some funding to do that. So that's been a big part of my preparation this year, which has meant a lot of having to reflect on what I want to do, what my goals are, you know, all those really irritating questions.
I know, they could be so irritating. I feel like even like when I was thinking about coming to this podcast today, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to say to make myself sound like I'm not just like studying a degree, like just like everyone else. But no, it is like definitely like some of those questions. It's like just how you can set yourself apart.
Yeah.
I feel like you must have loved filming the episode that we had with Annabelle the other week on overseas study, because like so relevant. For those of you that haven't listened, you should definitely listen to our overseas study episode, because like Shannon's saying, it could be relevant. If you're feeling like you didn't get to do it in your undergrad, you can definitely still do overseas study with your postgrad, which is so interesting and such a good opportunity that this university has.
Yeah, totally. And me and Annabelle were definitely quite vibing, I think. And even after that episode, we were having a big chat about it. Because yeah, it is. I think it's so, for anyone that has been overseas, you know that how like exciting it can be. And I think doing it through university is like, because I mean, it can be super scary. And I think like for me, like even though I really want to do it, it's still terrifying, the thought of moving overseas.
I don't even think I could like fathom going overseas. My best friend all the way through uni was like, I want to go on exchange. Like, I'm so excited. She hasn't ended up going, but I think she'll like probably do something next year. But I was like, oh my God, like I can think of nothing worse. Like I went overseas with my family for a month, like literally with my family. I'm still 21, but I went overseas this year. And I remember like I was not homesick, but I was like, oh my God, this is unlike anything I've done before. Like I've never been away for a month. So I feel like studying overseas is definitely a good way to push you outside of those comfort zones, and probably something that I should consider. But for the moment, I'm quite happy in little old Adelaide.
Yeah. And I think like doing it through university and having like a study framework is kind of like a more approachable way to do it. Like, because it is really scary. And for me, that's a less scary way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you've got like the support system of both the university that you're going to, but also the university that you've come from a lot of the times, particularly if you're doing an exchange. But you've sort of already got this network of built-in things where you know, you're going to have to show up to this particular place and there's going to be people there that are sort of studying the same thing as you.
Yeah, like-minded and...
Yeah, so there's kind of stuff that's already built up around you. It's not like a complete big unknown. So I feel like that's what makes it a little less terrifying.
I used to work at the Sofitel Adelaide in the club lounge, and I remember one of my friends from a different department, she was like, yeah, I'm just going to move to London and work for the Sofitel in London. And I was like, whoa. I was like, what, like just by yourself? She's like, yeah, like I just want a fresh start, like I'm just gonna move to London. And I was like, oh my God, like that is just
terrifying,
unheard of for me. But no, definitely, like, so like props to anyone that wants to do that, because that's amazing. So like, what are kind of some of your, like, what are you hoping to get out of postgrad? Like, obviously you said like honours was a good test for you to see if you want to work in the field, but like, what is your end goal for studying postgrad?
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people relate to this in that I'm not 100%, like I don't have this big grand picture of, you know, the end day. I think for me, it's, I mean, also like the skills that you sort of do in research are really directly applicable to the kind of work that I do. So obviously as a journalist, you do a lot of like a lot of fact checking, a lot of researching, a lot of making sure all your sources are up to scratch. So that's, it has got a similar vein to the research thing I've noticed. So there's that, but also like even during my honours degree, I think, I don't know, like no one likes theory, but like the theory is when you talk about like the impact of the work that you do, and particularly as like a journalist, you know, like I'd be sitting in that room being like, man, if I like messed this up. Like, this is the news that people are going to be reading. Yeah. So it's really intimidating. And I think having that, learning more about theory has actually made me reflect more on my job and my work and my position and what impact I want to have with that. And I think that's been super valuable to me because I think that makes me better at my work because I'm going to be doing it more intentionally, more deliberately, and having that sort of second double guess of like, okay, wait, how is this going to actually impact people the way I've written this story maybe, or, you know, the facts that I have included or the facts that I haven't included or bits and pieces. So I feel like that's already had an impact, even just doing honours, and that's like just a baby kind of thing. But I think for me, I generally like, I like pushing myself and challenging myself academically. So I think just for me, that the biggest draw card for that is having that experience of challenging myself and coming out of the other side and be like, you know what? I did it. I've got a master's degree in it. Like, I know what I'm doing kind of thing. You know, it's a nice confidence boost as well. But I think it's just an extra notch in the belt for me going forward in my career.
I think that point about it being an extra notch is so good. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh my God, like light bulb up in my head. Like any degree that you do, even like you say that you've done honours, which is such a good test to like see if you do want to study postgrad, which like in my position, like I would consider like there's not an honours option for me. I have to go straight from undergrad to postgrad. But like at the end of the day, a postgrad degree is only 1-2 years out of the whole like grand scheme of your life. So if it leads to nothing, it really is just an extra notch in your belt that can only help you in the future. Like no one's going to look and be like, oh, that's such an irrelevant postgrad degree that she's done.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's always going to be benefits to doing that, I think.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, you know, particularly if you are really eager to get out of study, like I remember overhearing some girls when they were someone was talking about like honours in one of my courses, like it was near the end of the year and they're like, here are your options kind of thing. And when they said it's like an extra year, these girls were like, oh my God, a whole extra year, like maybe if it was like 6 months. And I just wanted to be like, guys, like it's just a year. Like, trust me, it goes so quick. So again, for you guys that don't know, I'm 27. So I've been at the uni for a long time. I feel like a statue, to be honest. But, even like that extra year, it isn't as much time as you think it is. And you have so much time and, you know, age and all that kind of stuff, it's actually only ever going to be a strength for you as well. So like, even if you feel like maybe you're going to be a bit behind in your career because you took maybe that year, that 2 years on your degree to get into your job versus someone else, it's not going to disadvantage you at all because you're going to be entering that workforce more confident. You know, more things, like you've been around the block a little bit longer. Like you will actually stand out because you've got that extra experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like that's something definitely for me, like my degree, I graduated high school in 2021 and it's now 2024 and I'm in my final semester, which is like crazy to think about. But I'm like, I really wish that I'd extended my undergrad a bit more. Like it's like the chapter of my life of being at uni is ending like so quickly. Like obviously I can come back and do postgrad, but like postgrad, I feel like a lot of the time people would do it like while they're working full time and it kind of is just like an addition to their life. Whereas like the chance to do undergrad and to be studying and to be immersed in the uni environment, like you really do only get once when you're so young. And I kind of look back and wish that I had done a double degree or like extended it out a bit more to like really make the most of it, because there seriously is no rush to enter the workforce. Like the more time I'm spending in the workforce, the more I'm learning that, because in this office I am the youngest by a country mile, and like it doesn't matter, like everyone is going to be like, the older you are, like Shannon said, like you will just be more mature going into the workforce, which is definitely like not how I'd viewed it until I was already in the workforce, which sometimes it can be too late.
Yeah, you get caught up in the rat race. Yeah. Like I think there's so much pressure on you, particularly when you're in your early 20s, to like get into work and do the thing and be like, you know, be this boss, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, take your time. There is literally no rush. Like where are you going to? Do you know what I mean? Like I think for some jobs as well, like if they're ones that you want to stay in for a long time, like you've got so much time to spend working in your life.
Know.
There's no rush getting there.
I feel like the LinkedIn battle too, definitely in my degree in business, the LinkedIn battle is unlike any other. How many internships can you do? Are you already working in your field before you graduate? Are you working full-time and doing your undergrad at the same time? It's like, I wish that if I looked back, like just take a step back, Olivia, like it's all going to be okay. Obviously, I'm so grateful for the position that I'm in. I did an internship with the uni last year in social media. So like working for like the actual brand account, and I was like involved in so many promotions. And for me, that internship was such a good opportunity, which is how I've ended up in this job here today.
Yeah.
But I really was pushing. I was like, oh my God, everyone around me is like, they're going on exchange overseas, like we were saying, and they're like done with these internships and they're applying for summer vacationer programs. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be behind. Like, what can I do to get myself back in the right position? Which is why I ended up doing the internship. And I'm so grateful for it, but I feel like it's not the be all and end all. If all you've done for 3 years is get your degree, and then at that point you go and get an internship, or you take your time with your degree and do it part-time and do some internships at the same time.
Also highly recommend part-time.
Yeah, I wish I did mine part-time. In my first semester, I did 3 subjects because I'd done...
Oh my God, that is the sweet spot.
Yeah, it literally is. I was like, oh my God, uni's going to be so easy. And I think we'll talk about this in a later episode, but then I was like, uni's so easy. So my second semester of uni ever, I worked so many hours and I push myself so much, and the outcome just is never what you want it to be. So I feel like there's nothing wrong with taking your time at any point in your degree.
No, and I feel like maybe this is a bit of a tangent, but I feel like it's good to talk about. And like the obviously me being doing 2 degrees, like all the people, so many people from my first degree went back to uni or completely changed their career path.
Yeah.
Like so many people change what they're doing. It's actually way more common than I think people realize, especially when you are 21 and everyone's, you know, you're actually, this is the first thing you've done post school.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like you haven't had an opportunity to see people change their minds and switch around the amount of people that trust me when I say when you turn 25, you will see so many people, you know, suddenly become nurses.
Like, yeah, that is crazy. For me, like so many of my friends are nurses as is, and I'm like, oh my God, like I can think of nothing worse than being a nurse. But like the rate of nurses, like it grows. Like if I think about even growing up, like my friend's parents that would become a nurse is like actually insane. And like even if I think about some of my other friends, like the amount of times that they've changed degree, one of my friends is on her like actual 3rd degree and she hasn't finished any of them. Like she started doing a law degree at Flinders and now she's like moved over here and she's done like half an accounting degree and now she's started OT. Like
yeah, I feel like she's going to be like one of those old women that you meet, like those grandmas who are like, yeah, I've done 56 different things. And when you're a kid, you're like, that is incredible.
And I feel like that's what everyone says, like in this day and age, like the jobs that we're going to be working in genuinely don't even exist at this point in time. Like who would have thought that I would turn around and be like, oh yeah, my job is social media. Like that's just insane to think about, like as a little year six when you download Instagram and you're like, oh my God, this is so
cool. Oh my God,
you're
in year six and you download Instagram.
Yeah. Is that young, old? I don't know.
I feel like that's young.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Year six, I mean, probably an exaggeration. I think my friends had it at year six and I was a bit behind the eight ball.
I was in year eight when I was finally allowed to get a Facebook account.
Oh, see, Facebook for me came way later, like probably not until year 9 or 10. I was allowed Snapchat before Instagram, which to me is insane. And I got Snapchat in year 7 and Instagram in year 8. So year 6 might have been a bit of an exaggeration, but just wanted to seem like I was up with the trends.
Oh my God. This has been so much fun though. And I feel like I hope that all of you listening get something out of the fact that like, you know, postgraduate really is an option, but like there are so many different ways that you can do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like postgrad, like you were just saying, is an option for absolutely everyone. Like, and there's always like different pathways. Like you can study a degree that seems like the postgrad that you want to do isn't connected, but it could be connected. Like you never know until you ask the questions and see what comes from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, it's been so much fun having you here, Olivia.
This is so much more fun than I thought it was going to be.
You guys will be hearing a little bit more from Olivia throughout the year. So I hope you get used to it. I hope you like her voice. I hope you get used to it.
I hope I like listening to my voice. Oh my God.
But yeah, thank you so much, Olivia, for joining me. It's been
thank
so
you
fun.
For having me. My very first episode.
You did so well.
Thank you.
So to get the expert's perspective, we're joined now by Cody, who is a postgraduate recruitment specialist here at the University of Adelaide. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so exciting. Can you tell us about your experience in the world of, I guess, postgraduate studies?
Yeah, great. So I have a graduate certificate, and we were chatting before we went on air just quickly about potentially going on to a master's. Just not quite yet. It'll happen when it happens for me, which is the way it goes for a lot of people. That's the best thing about NESTA programs, which we do have here at the University of Adelaide, that you can sort of pick up and start when you feel it is time or you have the time. So I've done a bit of study myself. I've been in this role for a couple of years now, just helping people decide if they want to study postgrad studies, if it's for them and sort of their right career path, or if it's the right time, which typically will come up a lot with postgrad students.
Yeah, I guess the timing is a lot because it does seem like a lot of time to invest after you've already done a degree as well.
Yeah, exactly. Typically we see a lot of people who work full-time as well, so it's how much time can they invest to get the best of the course as well, because if they sort of half-heart it, they're not getting where they want to go. So a lot of people do study part-time, try and fit it around families, because typically postgrad students are a bit older, anywhere from the 30 to 40 range usually when people start, but that's not to say younger people don't do it or older people. But yeah, so trying to fit it in where they can and time-wise if they can get the best out of the course.
Yeah.
That's usually the way it goes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And for those, I guess, that are a bit unsure, like what is defined as postgraduate studies, could you give us a little bit of a rundown about what it all involves?
Yeah, okay. I typically do speak in university jargon sometimes because I've been inside it for a bit too long. So postgrad studies is anything considered above a level 7 by the AQF framework, which, again, more university jargon, but basically it's anything after a bachelor's degree. So graduate certificates, graduate diplomas, masters, and then you have your PhDs as well. They all sort of sit together. PhDs can typically be seen a little, depending on the university, a little separate from postgrad. It's its own grad research sort of department. But here at the University of Adelaide, we have NESTA programs. So you have a graduate certificate that leads into a graduate diploma that leads into a master's. You can start at the master's level if you feel like it, but if you feel you're a bit time poor or you want to get a taste of the course, you're typically starting a graduate certificate. The best thing about doing it this way is you can exit and you can leave for 4 or 5 years, a year, 2 years, and you'll have a degree, you'll have a graduate certificate. Unlike a bachelor's degree, if you leave after 6 months, you leave with nothing.
Yeah.
So that's one positive with the structure of postgrad study. And typically it's 2 years for a master's program. A PhD can be anywhere from 2 to 6 years. Again, a lot different than master's by coursework. The honours sits in a sort of
little middle ground. Its own.
Yeah, sort of not quite postgrad and it's not quite undergrad. Typically honours will bleed usually into more of a PhD, more of a research sort of pathway. Not always. But typically my students, if they're studying honours, will some stage in their life intend to use it as a pathway into PhD.
Yeah, because I'm doing my honours degree at the moment and it kind of feels like a baby postgrad almost, because you do that coursework first half and then thesis second half with that real focus on research and research methods and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so yeah, that's exactly what the intention is to give people a taste of sort of both a master's by coursework or a research sort of pathway and see where they might want to go with it. And typically with a PhD, you have to have studied an honours degree because you have to have some research history, some basis in research or have done a thesis. So, you're well on your way to doing your PhD if you've got any interest.
And I think, like, for me, I always think when I think postgraduate, I think master's and PhD. But, like, it's easy to forget or not even realise that you've got things like graduate certificates and graduate diplomas. So could you tell me a little bit more about those and what they look like?
Yeah, of course. So an easy way to think about it is a typical master's course is 2 years. A graduate diploma is the first year of that master's. And then a graduate certificate is just the first 6 months, so the first semester.
Oh.
So, you, like I said, you can nested study it and just do, okay, I want to start as a graduate certificate, do the first 6 months. So you get credit fully into the master's, look at that first 6 months, say, yep, this is for me. Oh, maybe not right now. I'm a bit time poor or this thing's going in my life that sort of doesn't lead to studying at its best. So you study your graduate certificate, go away, and then, yeah, you can come back within the next 10 years and go straight into the graduate diploma or into the master's if you're ready for that as well. Easy way to think about it is grad cert's the first 6 months, grad diploma is the first year of a master's, and a master's is, a master's. It's all the same course, so it's all the same course content. It just gives you a space to exit and come back and study at like a little lesser load if you do study in that NESTA program.
Yeah, okay. So if you came back, say, 3 years after doing your graduate certificate, that means you can, I guess, skip the first 6 months of that master's because you've already done it.
Yeah, exactly. So you get that credited. If you were intending on studying again with us at the University of Adelaide, you would just do a thing called an internal transfer. So you wouldn't have to apply. You just contact the university, say, hey, I'm ready to pick up my studies again and go from there.
Amazing. And, you know, you've got the master's and the PhD, which obviously, like you said, PhD, I think we're all a little bit more familiar with what that is, and that it is that sort of super in-depth focus on one topic, one idea or whatever it is with that research. But with the master's, because it can be, you know, you've got those 2 years, those 1 year options. So what could you maybe tell me a little bit more about like the differences between all these programs and why someone might say choose a master's over a PhD or vice versa?
Yep. Typically, so there is two pathways of master's. There's master's by coursework, which is a higher level but similar to a bachelor's degree, basically. You have your lectures, you have your assignments, pretty similar structure. You also have a master's by research, which most people will use to get the component they need to study a PhD if they haven't done an honours year. So the dual master's by research, they'll spend a year on the research, do a thesis, and then they'll have that component to then be able to go into a PhD. But typically people use master's to either change careers, so they want to sort of pivot where they are currently, or advance in their career. They're sort of finding themselves hitting a glass ceiling. They need a piece of paper. They come get educated. And some people find themselves in a position where they're operating a small business, they're doing really well in the career, and they've suddenly realised they've got 30, 40 people under them, and like, oh, how have I done this? Like, I need that theoretical knowledge as well. So there's a variety of reasons people come, but typically it's, yeah, you find that it's either they're pivoting from their current career and want to sort of go down a different pathway, or they've just sort of hit a glass ceiling and they want to just sort of punch through and go to the next level in their careers.
Yeah, okie dokie. And I guess postgraduate study, for a lot of people, they get to the end of their degree and they're like, why would I bother? I've just been through 3 years of stress.
Yep, I was one of those.
So what are some of the common reasons you see that people choose to, I guess, continue on with that study?
Yep. Some people just love studying. So there's that person. They just thrive in the environment, love to keep continue learn. So there's lifelong learners that just find a way to study something all the time. And then, yeah, most people are using it to pivot careers. So they're in something like teaching or nursing, which can be pretty taxing. And people do it for years and sort of like, okay, this is a taxing career. Maybe I might pivot away. Or they find newfound interests in things like cybersecurity or data science, which is a total right turn. But people tend to just out of nowhere decide, oh, I'm actually really interested in this. I can study. I've got a bachelor's degree. And they use it to pivot careers or, yeah, like I said before, just advance in their careers.
Yeah. And for people who are interested in exploring the next stage of study, they're like, you know what, this is something that I want to do. It's the right time. What is the process like when it actually comes to putting that application together and getting it, making it happen?
Yep. Depending on the course, it can be more complicated than others. So if you want to study a master's of psychology, that's a little bit more complicated than if you want to study a master's of cybersecurity. So any course where your outcome, same with the bachelor's degree and a master's, if your outcome is to become a psychologist, you know what you're getting at the end of that master's. Typically, the entry requirements have been a little bit more strict. So you've had to have a bachelor's degree in the area. For psychology, you've also had to have studied honours. But then for most courses, if there's no I become this exact profession, check the website, but typically it's, have you got a bachelor's degree? Yes. Great. You meet entry requirements. If no, have you got work experience of up to 5 years in the area you're applying for? And you can typically get in on that as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's for master's degrees as well. Another great thing about the grad certs, I should touch on this earlier, is if you don't meet entry requirements of the bachelor's degree, for the master's degree, sorry, the graduate certificates usually do have slightly lower entry requirements. So you can start in the grad cert even if you're intending on studying the master's and then just go straight into the master's from there.
Yeah.
So they give you slightly lower entry requirements to make it a bit easier.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for those who are, you know, still doing their undergrad, but they already know that they want to do postgraduate study, you know, enter into that area, but they're still doing their undergraduate?
Yeah. My advice to most students is always try and talk to someone, a friend, a colleague, maybe even an academic, who is either teaching or is currently studying in postgrad. Just talk to them, ask them questions, how they went about it, why they studied. Get as much information as you can. You're never going to regret getting as much information from people that are currently studying or in that field as you can. And then reach out to the people at the university like myself or future students. So just talk to people. Get as much information as you can. Find out if it's for you. Come along to things like Postgrad Expo, Open Day. Talk to academics. Talk to current students staying postgrad. Talk to the professionals working in the area. And then just sum it up. Again, it's, you might think it's for you now. Typically, we find people will inquire about postgrad or come and have a conversation over a coffee with us. And then we won't see them apply for like a year and a half, 2 years. It's not sort of like undergrad where you see students sort of the process is 6 months maybe, 12 months, whereas postgrad students, again, because they're usually working full-time or they've just come from university and like, oh, do I want to jump straight into a couple more years of intense study?
Yeah.
I sort of want to go find, if I go out to the workforce and find life outside of the university circle for a while. So, yeah, look, just talk to as many people as you can would be my best piece of advice.
Yeah. And just before I let you go, what are some of, I guess, the common questions that you receive as someone who is dealing with students looking into the world of postgrad?
The most common one is time. How often am I on campus? How flexible is this? I have kids or I'm working full time, so I need this to be as flexible as possible. Again, most postgrad courses are super flexible. They'll offer courses, so their lectures might be 5 to 7 every Tuesday PM, so people can go to work and come after. I know the courses such as the MBA have intensives, so you only have to be on campus once a month, but it's a whole weekend that month, so from Friday to Sunday, and once a month for the course. They're like, we'll make this as flexible as possible. We're going to knock out as many lectures as we can and all your on-course content in a weekend, so you can go be with your family, continue to work full-time. Another thing I'll quickly touch on is just the fees. We know postgrad can be pretty expensive. So that is one thing students do ask a bit about as well. So scholarships, if you're a graduate of any course at the University of Adelaide, you're considered an alumni and you get 15% off a full fee paying course.
Wow.
So that's every University of Adelaide student that studies postgrad, full fee paying courses. And then we have another scholarship called the Future Talent Scholarships, which is $5,000. It's just if you've showed any sort of leadership in the community, if you can just put an application in for that one. So if you find that on our website, Future Talent. So there's 10 of those every year. In the last few years, we haven't given away 10. Not enough people have applied, so that's just money that sits there that students could be applying for.
Yeah.
That just pretty much helps support kids study at postgrad level.
That's a good hot tip there.
Yeah, but I try and tell as many people as possible because it is money that just sits in that pool that doesn't get given away. Yeah, continue to turn up to events. If you see postgrad hosting events or if you've got interest in a course, there's no harm in reaching out and saying, hey, is there an information session about this? Is there any upcoming courses? Because we do host a lot of masterclasses, which are taste testers for the course you're studying. And then information sessions after that as well, which typically are run by academics and a current student in that course. And they talk about course content, careers, outcomes, and then just time again, which is the thing most people will ask about. They'll talk about how often you'll be on campus, how often you're expected to be in lectures, the flexibility. So they're the best places to go to get as much information as possible. I can give all the baseline information possible for most of our courses, but talking to academics is probably the most helpful thing because they're going to be able to give you super in-depth course knowledge. They're the people that provide the flexibility to the students, so they can give more information on that as well. And 99% of them are super happy to talk to students that are interested at postgrad level because they know it's a super investment, like it's an incredible investment of time and money for the students that are asking. So, they're happy to give as much time as they can.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Cody.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Take note.
This is a UOA On Campus production.